difficult times, the enemy lying, but we came to give you the truth.
We here for the fight of our life, but we fight in Christ, so all things we can do.
We go to the end, people dying in sin, so now it's time for us to recruit.
Calling all the church, time to get to work, no more this hide behind the pew.
Ain't no time to wait,
we gotta move with hate, cause this war is just beginning.
Hey,
we gotta run the race,
they gotta set the pace,
and we gon' keep on winning.
So leave all your past behind,
cause we soldier for Christ and we on the front line.
If you wanna teach and give sight to the blind,
then get ready, cause
it's time
about time.
To God be the glory.
A Time to Harvest Ministries would like you to join us every Sunday for service, 11 a.m. to 12 p.m.
You stay is saved, because remember, when your spirit is saved already, nothing can come against it. Because
if you miss a service or the live broadcast of it, you can tune into our Bible study show, God's View, following directly after service.
My expectations might just be, I just want $1 million in a big house. How about God gonna supersede that? Why would I want to believe if somebody could just speak and know that?
You miss a service and God's View? That's okay. We got you covered. You can listen to Pastors Roxana Becknell Show, Words from Above, every Thursday at 3:30 p.m. on Kingdom Supporter Radio Network. For more info on the Time to Harvest Ministries shows and events, or if you have a prayer request, interested in being a baptismal candidate, or you would like to partner with us, whether it's through donation or sponsorship, contact us at our website, atthm.com. We hope to see you in service real soon. Until then, we pray God bless you and produce an unexpected harvest in your life. And always remember, it's about the people.
About the people, about the people, about the people.
Church, okay, to our church.
Yeah, all right. And then we have some stuff on YouTube.
Yes,
Yeah, we got some YouTube videos popping up. A lot of the sermons that Minister Marty has preached, a lot of things that Pastor has preached, you can watch all of those replays on YouTube.
Yeah.
I'm just like at the time of Harvest Ministry, so you'll see those. You can also visit the church website, hthm.com. The videos are there. Yeah, I love you. That is what I've been trying to do my part to do. And you can always go back on Facebook, on Pastor's page, and get some of the videos, or now on our Time of Harvest Ministry Facebook page. Click live or one of the tabs, and you'll see all the live videos there.
Yeah.
And we got a couple of events too. So
yeah,
visit hthm.com for those.
Yeah, it's a lot of events. So,
yeah.
Well, we thank you for the word also. Today, we thank you for the time to study. Thank you for time to just illuminate on the word. And Father, just give us the necessary things that we need to hear during the time of wisdom going forward. In your son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So today we're talking about Jesus' claim to deity. Letting him know now who he is. And so, you know, because remember he was telling his mom in one of the lessons before, it's not my time yet.
Right.
You know, why are you making me do this out of order? I have the order. So now he's going to claim in that.
All right. You're right.
So we're dealing with John, the book of John, chapter 8, verse 48 to 59. And then we're still dealing with some other ones in John 5, 31 to 37, Revelation 1, 5 and 8, Exodus 3, 13 to 15, also John 7, 16 to 18, and you know, they shouldn't have said over with John 5, 7. So that's what we're dealing with today. And the golden text says, Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. Mm-hmm. So before, before Abraham was. So before, you know, that belief system, that faith that they had that they didn't even know about,
mm-hmm.
Jesus says that I am.
Right.
So he says, begin. So today's fact is to understand that Jesus ambiguously claimed to be God. And then the principle is to learn that the implications of Jesus' deity for our daily living. And then to practice obeying Jesus' divine authority over our lives. So this is what we have. So today's text is an example of how following Jesus can sometimes require a person to reject aspects of his or her culture or heritage if they are against the teachings of the scripture.
Wow.
And as Jesus speaks to the scribes and the Pharisees, he reveals that the religious authorities of his day were so proud to be physical descendants of Abraham that they neglected to become children of Abraham by faith.
Hmm.
That's a lie. So in other words, that you have to reject something that doesn't coincide your culture, your family, your teaching, your heritage, if it conflicts with scripture, then you just don't prefer to do it.
Right.
So there were three things that they developed in this lesson. Was one, that Jesus glorifies the Father, letting him know that when you see me, you see the Father.
Right.
And then Jesus also said that he offers eternal life. So the second thing that he wanted us to know that is, through him, if we follow him, we can have eternal life. And he goes to prepare a place for us so that we can have eternal life. Three, he said that Jesus is God himself. So showing that, yes, I am in the natural, my earthly father in his spiritual realm too. So Jesus is nowhere near old enough to be, you know, to have lived in Abraham's time. But they said that he has no business claiming to know him personally. Jesus' response is three. But powerful. Verily, verily, I say unto you, before Abraham was, I am. And that's what he said. And he always said who he was. So the Samaritans were a mixed race of people, and I pulled that out too. And you know how we always thought about the Gentiles and the Jews. But the Samaritans were a mixed race of people and considered by Jews as an apostate. Jesus did not bother to respond to part of their allegation. But, you know, he did respond to other stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so,
read that.
Oh, you want to
read that?
If you want okay, to. Okay, so Jesus did respond to their charge of having a demon. This is one of several times he was accused of having a demon or at least operating under the power of demons. Jesus did everything in order to glorify his Father in heaven, and that would have been impossible under the power of a demon. He was not exalting himself, but exalting his Father. So their attack on him was dishonoring, which is in turn dishonoring the Father. So anytime, like I say, when I tell the kids, you know, when you go against your parents or you go against your teachers or you go against any authority in the earth, you go against God himself. So that's how you look at it. So this time was not yet was for Jesus to die. He even escaped the cells, leaving the temple and walking away as a divine son of God. And he simply left them behind to carry on his work. And God was the same way. So,
all right. The first part of the point says true believers will praise God for who Jesus is and what he has done in their lives. That's so basic, so simple.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what you see in church all the time. That's what you see, even if, you know, the word not going away, we believe it to be taught or whatever, but it's just a true believer, just encompassing it all. You know, you got that.
Not a believer, but a true believer. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Because some people get fixated on just, I go to church, I go to a practice, I go to worship, I pass the water and all this kind of stuff. I'm there when the church at car wash, they think in the works of, but that does not make you who you are. But as a true believer, you're going to walk the walk and talk the talk, and your mindset will change, and that's how you know who's your
inside. And that change takes place if you step into the realm of a true believer. Once again, you praise God for what he has done at the end of your life.
The point two.
People who hate Jesus will often justify their hatred by making him into something evil.
We just kind of read that. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, they figured, you know, people thought, you know, you do miracles or you do anything to that fact that you were doing stuff that's evil. Are you edifying yourself and building yourself up? That's evil. But Jesus said, I'm not edifying myself, I'm edifying my Father.
Right, and that's the issue today when you start something new, you know, and you're promoting it, marketing it up, just tell people about it, and some people, you know, they call it, they're hating on you, but that's what they do. And that's what they do, and they follow what you say, and it's just one of those things, and point two, being a follower of Christ.
Yeah.
You know, it's not asking.
So 3 says, the true knowledge of God will lead to a proper knowledge of who Jesus is. So the true knowledge of God. So like today, when we say we read Proverbs before, but now there's a new insight of discernment on what was taught. And so that wisdom that we learned today, say that knowledge now is true, will lead now to proper discernment and elevation and illumination. So that you could obey the word of God, so that knowledge is different.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So that's
and true knowledge of God, it, like you said, it's an illumination, because once you know about the big umbrella party, which would be God encompassing covering everything, then you can start breaking down and understanding Jesus' purpose on earth, and then you understand the Holy Spirit's purpose living in us on earth and what each one is for, because now you have that true knowledge of that umbrella and how everything is falling into place. Now you can start identifying things, you can start making proper and effective changes in your life, because now everything starts to make sense clear.
Yeah. So number 4 says, if we know God, we will demonstrate it by obeying him and rejoicing in his son. So if we know God, then we'll demonstrate. So demonstration means I'm doing it, not just, you know,
like on your job.
Yeah.
You know your job, you don't do your job. You demonstrate to your boss or to yourself, be self-employed. Mm-hmm. And you know what you know.
Yeah. And rejoicing in your son. So. Mm-hmm. So Jesus is the eternal God inside the second person of the Trinity.
Yeah.
So basically it told us and that's Matthew 7. Mm-hmm. It says, then the Jews unto him, thou art not 50 years old, and hast not seen, thou seen Abraham. Jesus said to them, verily I say unto you, before Abraham was I am. Mm-hmm. So because, you know, all they knew was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob.
Right.
And so they never knew, okay, here comes Jesus.
Right.
Who's that? Mm-hmm. So now, you know, and then when Moses asked, you know, he sent me, if they asked, did I am, that I am. So he reiterated in another truth that we did the other day about that I am. So if you see my Father, you see me. So now I am. Because before Abraham was, I am.
Right. I was already. And number 6, as God in the flesh, Jesus was in complete control of his earthly destiny. He is also in control of ours.
So when we talk about the Rethink series that's coming up in April, where we got all these people rethinking different topics. So 30 days, we're going to broadcast videos on different ministers and evangelists and preachers and bishops and stuff. And they're going to talk about the rethinking part of how this is. So one is earthly connection and heavenly connection, how these transpire to be making us holy. And so all these Rethink series are going to get us to rethink some things in our life so that we can all rethink. The one thing is that to be holy, because God is holy,
right? Yeah.
So my thing is, you know, like I told our producer, that, you know, we need to really get to the people and let the people know that we're serious about what we're talking about. And when people see that you're serious, they're not going to be like, oh, that's church as usual. We don't have church as usual.
Right.
So when we say that it's God in the flesh, Jesus was in complete control of his earthly destiny. So we want the earthly connections that we have to be steadfast. It's like, you know, our members, they, you know, before he came, he didn't have a job. He got a job. And he asked for it. He prayed for it. He got a job. Then, secondly, they got they want another car because their car started giving them trouble. So they got a new car.
Yeah.
So then after they got the new car, then on Friday they just closed on their house.
Amen.
So now they have their house. So now God is showing you, you don't have to be in, you know, in a big mass of people to praise God and to get what you need from him. You can do it in a small atmosphere. You can do it in a medium atmosphere. It don't matter as long as you do it. And that's what Jesus said, that earthly destiny, what is it going to be? Because he is in control of all. And when we give it to him, he's going to do it.
That's right. And he highlighted some
of the
honor and pride.
Well, honor and pride are not the same, but a sense of pride is one's action or work that can lead to being respected. So that's the pride.
Mm-hmm.
But if Jesus, a sinless person, did not seek his own honor, then why should we seek ours? So we should honor God by seeking to glorify him over ourselves. And then the second thing I did was sometimes telling the truth can offend others and offend people. Jesus could have avoided offending the Pharisees by keeping quiet about their sin and his power stayed. But then he would have been a liar like them, because the truth is always better than even when it hurts. It's like, you know, instead of lying about things, just tell the truth. And so what we got now is, you know, out here, you know, all the person is saying that, you know, we got a vaccine, we got a surplus, and then you go in the box, you know, in the place where the surplus is supposed to be, there's nothing there. So, you know, people not telling you things that just get hurt, not just you, but other people. So that's why it's best for you when you set out to do anything to do it in truth, in the spirit of truth.
That's right.
That is. So I think, what are some things we learned about the Jews from that question in Jesus' in verse 53? They said, about Abraham, which is dead, and the prophets are dead. But then who makest thou thyself?
That's what I was
about
to point out before we even touched on that question. You know, with all that, and we always say it, all the things that you was doing miracle wise, but you know, I know the word getting around about who he is and was. They still had no clue. They still clueless. They still didn't understand. They still didn't know. And he walked the earth with him. Where, you know, today he don't have that at all. But, you know, them asking those questions just to learn it. Just like the, you know, never get to a place where you know everything about Christ and about the Spirit and about where things are going. You have those questions.
And it's just sad that he walked with them, and it's still, because he walked with them, they still didn't recognize exactly who he was, and didn't give him the proper authority kind of thing that he was given that sense. And even then, when he went to the cross, they still didn't. So that's why I think people this today is even worse for as being blind to what God really wants them to do and have, because they just don't care.
And you say worse, but I guess I'm an optimist. I'm not saying that you're a pessimist, but I'm an optimist. I'm thinking to myself, he's not here, and I wasn't still trusting in him. Whereas he was there, and they did not trust in him. So maybe not.
Yeah, I'm there.
It's time to let the world know. It's a time to harvest. It's a time.